The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. We need to take one day off out of seven and rest and recharge. But we say, well, I don't have time. I can't do it.
We make time for those things that are important to us. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie points out this is important.
If you will honor the Lord and say, I'm taking this day, Sunday's the Lord's day. I'm going to worship with my family. We're going to spend time together. I'm going to disconnect from all the things that distract me. I'm telling you, whatever you're doing, God will bless you for that. He will bless you.
If we follow God's blueprint for life, our lives will go better. You can depend on that. If we ignore God's blueprint, our lives will face more challenges and heartache. But sometimes we think we're the exception, or the situation is the exception. Oh, the sweet aroma of certain decisions could lead to the stench of bad destinations. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us consider more of the timeless wisdom we find in the Ten Commandments.
All right, well, let's grab our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and the title of my message is, What's the Big Deal with God's Name? Names matter. And God cares about His name a lot. So I want to look at now the third commandment, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. I think this is one of the most misunderstood of the commandments. And it's probably one of the most easily broken commandments because it's so misunderstood. Exodus 20 verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. But how do we do this? One way we do it, and we may not even realize it, is when we always feel we have to swear to God about everything. You say, man, come on, believe me. I'm telling you the truth. I swear to God it's true, right? Why would you have to ever say, I swear to God it's true? Probably because you're not known to be a truthful person, right? So Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:37 said, you've heard that the law of Moses says, don't break your vows. And carry out your vows you made to the Lord. But listen to this. He says, I say to you, don't make any vows. Just offer a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. That should be enough. If you need to strengthen your statement with a vow or your promise with a vow, that shows something is wrong. If you say you're going to do it, do it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't use the Lord's name in an empty, idle, insincere, or frivolous way. Some people will say, oh my God, all the time. It's a default expression. Oh my God. Oh my God. Right? Or you text, OMG. OMG. That's an empty way. That's sort of a frivolous way. Don't use the Lord's name in a frivolous way. Now, if something happens, you hear bad news or something else, and you say, oh my God, that's different. You're calling out to God. But some people just punctuate sentences with oh my God or OMG. Another way that we do this is by using God's name for personal gain. There's a whole industry called Christian retailing. They have a big convention every year called the CBA, Christian Booksellers Association. You know, there's a lot of great resources out there for Christians. I'm very appreciative of wonderful Christian books and great Christian music. But then people will have Christian versions of things. I actually saw a company some years ago, they had Christian tires. Do I need Christian tires? What were they called? Goodyear instead of Goodyear? I don't remember, but... And then I saw this one person selling Christian breath mints. Now, look, some Christians do need breath mints, okay? So that's, I'm okay with the idea of a breath mint, but do I need a Christian breath mint? Each one was in the shape of a fish. Oh, I don't want to use those secular search breath mints. I want the godly fish-shaped breath mints. To me, that's a form of using the Lord to sell something, and I don't really like it. Okay, here's another way you can take the Lord's name in vain, is when you claim to speak for God when you aren't speaking for God. Now, look, I take what I do very seriously, and I know when I stand up here that I do speak for God, not exclusively, because there are things I say that are just my thoughts and opinions, and honestly, my thoughts or opinions aren't any more important than anybody else's. But when I open the Word of God, I can say, this is what the Bible says. And so even the Apostle Paul, when he stood before the believers in Berea, it says, they searched the Scripture to see if these things were so. I love that. They were checking out the Apostle Paul. Well, I know you're the Apostle Paul, but I'm going to still see if that's biblical. That's right. Every Christian should do that. Never take my word for it. Never take anybody's word at face value. Check it to the Scripture. Does it line up with the Bible? But there are certain things that I can say on the authority of God's word that are significant. For instance, I can tell someone their sin is forgiven. I don't have the power to forgive sin. I can't absolve you from sin like a priest claims to be able to do. No man, no woman can do that. But I can say to you, if you meet God's criteria to be forgiven, you're forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I led you in a prayer to accept Christ, if you ask the Lord to forgive you, I can tell you on the authority of Scripture, your sin is forgiven and you're going to heaven. Now that's not something I do. And you can do this too. And here's what Jesus said. He said that we can say to people these things with authority. He said in John chapter 20, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Again, I don't have the authority to do it on my own, but I'm speaking for God in that they've met God's criteria. Okay, that's fine. But then there are people that claim to speak for God. The Lord told me this. The Lord told me this, and he told me to tell you that. God just told me to say this to you. Now, careful with that, because the Bible warns against those who say the Lord has spoken when the Lord has not spoken. I had a girl come up to me years ago and say, Greg, the Lord told me I'm supposed to marry you. I said, well, let's go talk to my wife about that. I don't know if she'll agree. So obviously that girl was misdirected. Sometimes it's preachers telling us, this is the message of the Lord. This is the prophecy I'm giving to you from God. Okay, hold on. Let's really test it according to Scripture and let's see if what they predicted is true, because if what they say will happen does not happen, then I think they're called in the Bible a false prophet. But there are people that say, I'm speaking for God. Or they'll say, God speaks to me every day, just audible voice every day. You know, I've been a Christian 50 years now. And I don't know that I've, thank you. Well, those are really lame claps. I mean, if you're, okay, wait. That wasn't even a smattering of applause. That was almost like mocking applause, right? Just, I've been a Christian for 50 years. No. Forget it. Okay. Let's just move on from that. Okay. By God's grace, right? So, and I would like to tell you every morning I get up and I shave and God speaks audibly to me. Hello, Greg. Good morning. This is your mission. Should you decide to take it? All of a sudden, the Mission Impossible theme is playing. Where did that come from? There's going to be a guy named Joe at the gas station at 11:43 today. Go tell Joe about Jesus. Okay. Do. And it self-destructs. Bible burns up. No, we don't want that. Anyone who tells you God speaks to them audibly all the time, I'm going to be honest, I don't believe it. I've had the Lord speak to me, but most of the time when God speaks to me, I would describe it more as a very strong impression. There are times when certain verses will sort of leap off the page and speak to my situation. I felt very strongly directed by the Lord to start this church in Riverside. I felt very strongly directed by the Lord to start our church in Orange County. I felt very strongly directed by the Lord to marry my wife. It took us a while to figure it out, honestly. We broke up 3 times before we did it. So the Lord will direct you, but here's the reality of how God directs me in general. I get up in the morning and I read the Bible and I pray and I ask for wisdom, and then I walk in faith and I seek to apply the truths I found in the scripture, and I have found myself smack dab in the middle of the will of God. Right? It's not all mystical and audible voices, and it is to some, but I'm telling you, this is more what you're going to experience as a Christian. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We're so thrilled when we hear from listeners that join us from every background, every profession, every age.
Hi, Pastor Greg. I just want to let you know that I am a huge fan of you and so thankful for how God has used you through your ministries. Me and my family are originally from Southern California, but we moved to Texas when I was 12. I am now a teenager. I am also a fan of your good friend Phil Wickham's music. I'm praying for you all.
Well, it's really great to know that Pastor Greg's teachings are reaching this young man and many more like him. Would you like to share your story? If so, why not email Pastor Greg? His email address is greg@harvest.org. Do it today. That's greg@harvest.org. Well, today, Pastor Greg is discussing the many ways we may dishonor the third commandment, not to take the name of the Lord in vain. Let's continue.
Another way we do it, and this will be the last illustration of taking his name in vain, is when we use God's name in a way that is insincere or phony. When we use his name in a way that's insincere or phony. You may be singing at the top of your lungs, but your heart and your mind is not engaged. You're singing, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, you know, and you're looking at some person going, I can't believe she's wearing that at church, seriously? Really? Wow, that person over there, they're so pitch. In fact, I don't like them at all. You're not thinking about what you're saying, so you're drawing near to him with your lips, but your heart can be far from him. And we don't want that to happen to us. But let me say that even for people that are profane and use bad language, the hypocrisy of the church is far worse than the profanity in the street. So you see somebody over there, listen, they're using foul words and they took the Lord's name in vain. They're so evil. But if you're in church and you're saying all these things to the Lord, how much you love him, and you're going out and contradicting it in the way that you live, what you're doing is worse than that person over there. And the reason it's worse is because they don't know any better, but you do. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, because God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And now commandment number 4, and this completes the first tablet. There's 2 tablets of the 10 commandments. Tablet number 1, 4 commandments that have to do with our relationship with God. Tablet number 2, 6 commandments that have to do with our relationships with other people. Here's commandment number 4. Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Now drop down to verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We'll stop there. This is probably one of the most misunderstood of all of the commandments. Basically, it's saying, we need to take 1 day off out of 7 and rest and recharge. But let's not miss the other point. It's also saying we should work. Because what does it say? On the seventh day, we should do no work, which implies on the other 6 days, we should work. This comes as a revelation to some people. They think the government should take care of them, that their family should underwrite them, that they can freeload and be lazy. And the Bible actually says, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So there's a place for personal responsibility as a follower of Jesus Christ. But yes, there should be a day where we disconnect, because some people go to the other extreme. Some don't work when they could or should, and others work too much. They're workaholics. And they say it's all for their family, but they don't seem to have any time for their family. And they say they do it because they have to, but sometimes they overwork themselves and they don't understand that God has set a principle into place that he wants us to honor. And that principle is take a day to disconnect. Take a day to get refreshed. Take a day to be recharged. And for us as Christians, for many of us, it's Sunday, because the first day of the week when the early church met, we meet as well. But we say, well, I don't have time. I can't do it. But here's what I'm suggesting to you. If you will honor the Lord and say, I'm taking this day, Sunday's the Lord's day. I'm going to worship with my family. We're going to spend time together. I'm going to disconnect from all the things that distract me. I'm telling you, whatever you're doing, God will bless you for that. He will bless you. But the trend among some is attending church less often. Well, we don't go as much as we used to. We're so busy, busy, busy. Don't you want to take time for the Lord, for his people, for his word? I think that's a really good thing to do. Here's another thing a lot of us neglect. We don't remember to give to the Lord. The Lord promises, if you will honor me with the first fruits of your increase and bring the tithe to me, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake and open up the windows of heaven and pour a blessing on you so great you won't be able to contain it. Here, listen to this. Chick-fil-A's have built an entire business model on being closed on Sunday. Who does that? To be honest, I wanted to eat Chick-fil-A on Sundays, and I'm not so happy. Because I've gone there on Sundays and said, oh yeah, right, closed on Sunday. But they're America's number one fast food restaurant. So that says something. Honor the Lord. Do what his word says. These are not rules, as I said earlier, that are like the bars of a cage to keep us in. They're like barriers of protection to keep harm out. They're given to us for our own good, but we all break them. You know, as I teach on the Ten Commandments, I think, oh, I fell short there, I fell short in this other one. We've all broken these commandments. And when we get to the final six, they're very clear. You shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not covet what belongs to another. Who of us have not done that? And if you break one commandment, the Bible says, you're guilty of all of them. The commandments were not given to make me righteous. They were given to show me I'm not righteous. The commandments were given to show me I need Jesus. Because he's the only one who ever lived by all of the Ten Commandments, because we have broken those commandments. A while ago, I was driving and I ran a red light. I went through an intersection. It wasn't intentional. I wasn't paying attention, but I ran that red light. I ran the red light. And right as I was coming through it, another red light appeared with a siren. I ran a red light with a cop behind me. He pulled me over. Oh, I thought, oh, I've blown it. So I got out my driver's license, my registration. I rolled down my window. The officer came up. I said, officer, I am sorry. I was wrong. I wasn't paying attention. And it's my fault. The cop, I think he was a little stunned. Like, he looked at me for a minute and said, okay, well, you know what? I'm not going to give you a ticket today. I said, really, officer, why? He said, because nobody ever tells the truth about these things. And so, he says, so I'm giving you a warning. And I said, yes. Then I said, praise the Lord. Right. That's a good time to say praise the Lord. So keep this in mind. Don't run red lights, but if you do, tell them the truth. Because cops know. Because people lie all day long to police officers, and they're pretty good at knowing when someone's telling the truth or not. And so, but here's my point. I was given a second chance, so to speak, because I admitted it. I didn't blame it on somebody else. I didn't say it wasn't my fault or the sun was in my eyes. I just said, I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. I apologize. And that's how we get right with God. Instead of blaming people. Well, it's not my fault. It's the way I was raised. It was my parents. It's my children. It's the cat. It's always the cat, you know. The cat made me do it somehow. You blame all these things and you just need to say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I've broken your commandments and I'm responsible for what I did and it was wrong and I'm sorry and I ask you to forgive me. And God will. God will. So there may be somebody here today who has thought, wow, you know what? This hit home. And I've done these things. I've broken this commandment. I have taken the Lord's name in vain. I've lied. I've stolen. I've committed adultery. I've done so many of these things. Well, you need to be forgiven. And that's why Jesus died for you on the cross and shed his blood for you. He took the penalty of the Ten Commandments upon himself and faced the full wrath of God so you don't have to. And if you'll turn from your sin and believe in Jesus, you can walk out of here a forgiven person. Is there somebody listening to me that needs forgiveness? If so, I'm going to extend an opportunity for you as we close in prayer to ask God to forgive you of whatever sin it is you need forgiven. Let's all bow our heads. And Father, I pray for every person that is here. If they don't know Jesus yet, if they haven't been forgiven of their sin, help them to come to you and believe in you and have Christ come and live inside of them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important closing prayer. And today, if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will return to help you do that before today's edition of A New Beginning wraps up. The title of today's study is, What's the Big Deal with God's Name? If you missed any part of the presentation, you can hear it all again by going to harvest.org or call us for a copy on CD, 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. It was a calm spring morning in the western Pacific. 12 men aboard a World War II bomber were preparing for their mission as they flew at 1,500 feet above the water. Author John Irwin says, then something dreadful happened.
The morning was April 12th, 1945. My grandfather, radio operator on board a B-29 Super Fortress, disoriented, was trying to understand what had happened because a bomb made of phosphorus that was spewing everywhere on the plane and filled the plane with smoke and sent the plane into a dive was rolling around the plane just in front of him. And he had a choice to make in that moment. The choice that he made would come to be the defining moment of his life and be a moment that would define my life as well as his grandson.
John describes that riveting event in his brand new book called Beyond Valor, a book he's been researching for some 15 years. It was about this moment of unbridled heroism for which his grandfather would receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. The plane was going down. No one could see because of the smoke in the cockpit. Red Irwin actually picked up the bomb while it was spewing 2,000-degree phosphorus and carried it all the way to the front of the plane and threw it out the only window that would open, saving everyone on the plane. Well, you need to read more, and we'll let you know how to get a copy of Beyond Valor in just a moment. But John Irwin's with us today. John, your grandfather survived in spite of his devastating burns and went on to enjoy a very full life, passing away in 2002. If you could ask your grandfather one question, what would it be?
Man, I would listen to his stories, and I would be interested in his answer to how did you do this? How did you grab that bomb and walk me through that moment of decision for you? Because I would aspire to be a person that would make the right choice in a similar moment. And, you know, you ask yourself that question, am I, you know, does that DNA, is it passed down? And so I would ask him about that moment. And I think the question that I would ask him to do is tell me a few of his stories, and I would really listen, which I didn't do. We had a great relationship, but I just didn't listen to his stories. I was a teenager involved in other things and thinking about other things. And so it would either be asking about making that moment of decision or just asking him to tell me a few stories and really sitting there, sit there and intently listen. I wish I could go back and do that.
Well, I think you've more than made up for it, John, and I think your grandfather would be really proud of the fact that you went out and sought out his old buddies and got the story, and now you're sharing it with others. You know, I was just thinking the other day, old people are our young people who have just lived longer. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, I'd look at old people, really old people, and I would actually think, this is a child, of course, where do these people come from? It's, you know, and then one day you wake up and you're one of them. I speak from experience because I don't feel like an old person, but I am an older person now. And I think a lot of times we look at older folks and we see that maybe they're not as mobile as they used to be, or they're having the challenges that will come to everyone in time. But what we fail to see is they have all of that wisdom, hopefully. Now, look, not all old people are filled with wisdom. There are some people that literally have wasted their lives. But then there are those that have lived wonderful, interesting, important lives, and there's so much to learn from them. And I hope someone listening to me right now will take time to learn your family history from your grandparents or even great-grandparents if they're still living. But John has taken that to the next level as he's researched the story of his grandfather, Henry Red Irwin, and he's put it down in a powerful book that you can now get for yourself and read this amazing story. The book is called Beyond Valor. It's a story of a true American hero, but also it's a story of a man who was motivated by his faith. And the last thing he said to his grandson, or at least the last thing his grandson, John, remembered in their conversation was he quoted Jesus in John 14:6, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Because of the sacrifice of Henry Irwin, many people are alive today, and so this is a story you need to hear, and it will inspire you and encourage you as well.
Oh, yeah. John is a master storyteller. Of course, he's the director of movies like I Can Only Imagine and I Still Believe. And in this book, he tells the story of his grandfather in a way that makes Red Irwin's heroism and his faith come alive. And we'd like to send Beyond Valor your way to thank you for your donation. It's an investment that helps us continue to bring Pastor Greg's studies to you each day. If you value the insight you receive, we hope you'll play an important part in helping these studies continue. When you send your contribution, be sure to ask for the book called Beyond Valor. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300, or just go online to harvest.org. And by the way, the book is scheduled to be released on August 18th, but we have some advanced copies available right now, so be the first to own a copy of Beyond Valor. And then, Pastor Greg, I know there are some in our audience who felt God speaking to them today through your message and want to make a change in their relationship with the Lord. Could you help them with that?
Yeah, you know, Dave, the Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you will be doing just that, calling on the name of the Lord. So listen, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life and take away your guilt and your shame, then just stop what you're doing and pray this prayer with me right now. Pray this after me if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your commandments. I have fallen short of your standards. But 2,000 years ago, you died on that cross for me. Then you rose again from the dead. So Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord and my God and my friend. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed that prayer along with Pastor Greg and you've meant those words sincerely, God has heard you and forgiven you of your sin. And we want to send you some materials to help you as you begin your new life as a follower of Christ. It's a collection of resources called the New Believer's Growth Packet. We'll send it without charge if you've made a first-time commitment to the Lord today. Just ask for it when you write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click the words Know God. Well, next time, we'll see what the Ten Commandments teach us about family life, even here in the 21st century. Join us for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.